every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday. Hello, good people. It is I, Michael D. Ballard, aka the Marriage Pastor, and I have been sent to you today to make sure you get the love that you desire, the respect that you require, and the sex that's fire, all within a kingdom marriage. So are you ready to jump into today's lesson? Make sure you get rid of all distractions, put the kids up, turn your cell phones off. If you can, make sure you're looking at this class on a home computer or laptop. It works better that way. And we are going to go right into our teaching for today. This is my Divine Love Lessons classes, all geared toward taking you to the next level in your love life. So whether you are single and ready to mingle, or you are hitched and your love is in a ditch, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to remix your love life. So let's go ahead and get things started. First off, shouts out to everybody that's a part of the Faithful Hearts community. And you know what time it is. We're standing on that Genesis 1:26, because that's the ultimate goal for our marriages. Genesis 1:26. So throw them hearts up, my Faithful Hearts community. And if you're not a part of the community, make sure you subscribe and become part of this community, because you need support if you're talking about having a love life that God is going to be approved of. And it takes a community to have a marriage in today's society. We want to go ahead and make sure that you guys, like always, I want to present to you what we're going to be learning today. It is the foundations of love. We're going to be talking about agape, understanding agape love for this whole seven days of this particular series. We're on day six, or lesson six, depending on how you are going to be teaching this. If you're in a small group, a church group, a community, classroom, or just you and your spouse, or you by yourself, understand that we're going to be talking about the nature of God's love, the nature of God's love. As always, make sure you download your workbook. Okay, you go to michaeldballard.com, and first few pages you'll see a link. You download that link. Make sure you find the right workbook for the right lesson. And for all those that are working in groups, I ask that everybody download their own workbook, because you can write your notes in there. You can take, there's reflection questions, there's prayers, there's action steps that will help take this particular lesson to the next level. So, you know, we'd like to start with story time. The prodigal son's return. We're going to remix it up for all those Bible thumpers. Now, this setting is a contemporary suburban neighborhood. There lived a single father. His name was David, with his two sons, Jake and Ethan. Jake, the younger son, was a free-spirited and ambitious young man, always seeking new experiences, sort of like my son Cameron. After finishing college, Jake, feeling constrained and eager for independence, convinced his father to give him his share of the family savings. He left home to pursue his dreams in a big city. In the city, Jake enjoyed a life of luxury and freedom. He turned up. He spent lavishly, partied hard, and relished his newfound independence, just like some teenagers we know. However, his lifestyle was unsustainable, and eventually, his funds dwindled to nothing. He found himself struggling to make ends meet, working multiple jobs and living in a cramped, rundown apartment. One evening, exhausted and lonely, Jake scrolled through social media, seeing his family and friends back home. He remembered his father's unconditional love and support. Overwhelmed with regret, he decided to return home, prepared to apologize and ask his father for a job at his business. Jake hesitantly walked up to the driveway. Before he could even knock on the door swung open. His father, who had always been anxiously awaiting his return, welcomed him into his arms with tears in his eyes. Ignoring Jake's apologies and protests, David called his friends, his family, organized an impromptu welcome home backyard party. He was overjoyed, saying, "My son was lost and is now found." Now, if you never heard of Prodigal Son before, this is a modern day version of it. If you are a Bible thumper and you do know the old school story, the lessons and themes are the same. It's redemption. It's a parent's unconditional love, despite his issues, despite how he treated his father, despite the disrespect. His father still was there to give his son love and open arms. Now, the Bible says, if we, being sinful, know how to give good gifts, how much more does God know how to give good gifts? We're talking about the nature of God, his very nature. We're going with Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Understand that this part of, and we want to break down this because we're talking about agape love. And if you remember the chart I showed you guys, lesson one, about how when we start off in relationships, we always start with eros, that passionate, heated love. But very few of us can really get to the agape love in our relationships. And agape love is what and who God is. So in the context of this story, I want to ask you, what is it that your spouse has done that may have disconnected you in the moment in that relationship? Are you willing and open that if your spouse apologizes and comes back, are you ready to open up your arms to let your spouse in? Are you ready to forgive? Are you ready to operate in that agape love? See, when you say that you love God, you serve God, and that you want a relationship the way God is calling us to have a relationship, then there is some agape love that you're going to have to demonstrate in the midst of your relationships, and even in your dating life, for those that are seriously dating and going to the next level. Now, like I always say, this is not a free will card for someone to mistreat you and to be disrespectful and to hurt you and abuse you. That's not what agape love is. That is not the kind of love that you should be nurturing or even be a part of. I'm talking about that kind of love that God is a part of, that kind of relationship that God is in the center of, because our spouse will do some things that's going to upset us, that's going to tick us off, that's going to draw us away from them, is going to push us away from them. But if they repent and they come back to you, are you ready to open up your arms in agape love? Just like the prodigal son, are you going to hold that to their charge? Or are you going to open your arms and welcome them back and just be excited that they came back? See, if you notice, the father didn't bring up the old stuff. He didn't bring up what you did. He didn't bring up, "I told you so." He never brought up, "I knew you'd be back." Right? He didn't have that spirit that some of us have when our spouses come back or when they come to apologize. I hear you, Holy Spirit. This is even in just, it doesn't even have to be that severe that someone leaves, but just in their mistakes and they're trying to apologize. Is there an open door for their apology? Again, this is not someone that's constantly in situations where they're hurting you and walking over you and using you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sincere people that sincerely are making mistakes, but they're trying to get their life, excuse me, They're trying to get their life in order, their relationships in order. Let's break down this scripture in two parts. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. Do good to them. And yet, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us and died for us. Even in the midst of our sin, even in the midst of us not deserving it, not warranted. Some of us don't even appreciate what it is that God does for us on a daily basis. I know there's some times when I don't. There's some times when I get up and it's all, I'm just straight asking God for what I want instead of saying, hey, God, how can I do something for you? How can I serve for you? How can I be a blessing to somebody? And we all have to do better in that area. How much more so in our spouse's life? When was the last time you asked your spouse what it is that you wanted? What can I do for you? How can I serve you today? How can I do something for you? I know even in my own life, my wife, who right now is pregnant with our baby Caleb, does a lot. I mean, this woman is amazing. She cooks, she cleans, she still works, you know, a little bit on her own. But she is she's a beast with it. And when I'm off, even though, you know, I'm working long hours as well, when I'm off, I come home, I used to be like, man, I'm tired. I still got to take care of Cameron, our other son, and I got to do these little things. But lately, God has been checking me on my attitude. And I'm like, man, this woman does so much. I know we both do a lot. But, man, she's carrying a child. She's taking care of home. I can do something for her. It's not about if she deserves it or not. It's about the fact that we are married. We're in a partnership because it takes two people to have a relationship. A marriage is a team effort. Doesn't matter if you're the coach or the star quarterback. It's a team effort. Everybody needs to be on the same page to build a healthy and successful union. Just like it says here, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. Do good to them. God does good to us consistently. That's his nature. That's how he is. And if we say we love God, and we say we're walking to be like God, to be like Christ, to have these relationships, then we need to show that love and kindness to our spouse, regardless of how they may let us down, because they will let us down. Oh, you best believe they're going to let us down. I'm going to let my wife down probably before 10 o'clock tonight because there's unmet needs unintentionally or intentionally, depending on how we feel. There's communication that's not clear. It's just going to happen. But she still deserves me to treat her and love her at the highest level that I can provide. Just like it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That goes to show you that God's nature is to do good for someone before they get it right. Can you do good to the person you're with before they get it right, before they are at the expectation that you're requiring them to be in? Are you able to walk in that love for them now? Because understand, what you do in your relationship doesn't just affect you. It affects the whole family. There's a whole family that's looking. My son is looking at how I treat his mother every day. He is looking at how I treat his mother. His eyes are on me. And when Caleb's here, his eyes are going to be on me. We are the first family unit that they see. And how we respond, how we treat our spouse, it's not just about us. Our children are looking at us. Our neighbors are looking at us. Our family members are looking at us. People on social media are looking at us. You become the Bible that most people never read. There are some people in business that won't do business with a man unless they're married, or they bring that man out and they see how that man treats his wife. Because how you treat them is a reflection of how you would treat me. I had a friend of mine once told me, he says, man, listen, if you can cuss your wife out, cheat on your wife, and you sleep with her every day, then there's no telling what you'll do to me. That's a very powerful statement. if you could treat the person you sleep with, the person that cooks your food, takes care of you, and has your best interests at heart, if you could treat them like dirt, then there's no telling on how you'll be able to treat them. So understand, because God's nature is love, it's natural for him to love, it should be natural for us to love our spouses and love the people that we say we love and we say we want to walk off this thing called life with. So I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to study who God is in his natural state. And when it says natural, this should be like breathing. Like breathing is natural to us, right? We don't have to think about breathing. We just do. Loving your spouse and being kind and treating people with love and respect should not be something you have to think about. It should be something that is naturally flowing from who you are. And if it is not, you are dealing with, like I call, some open doors in the spirit that's causing you to react in ways that is unkind and is not Christ-like. This is why, again, it is so important to not be unequally yoked with someone who don't share your morals and your values. So it's time for you to dig some readjustments into your life. It should not be hard for you to say nice things to your spouse. It should be not be hard for you to do something that's respectful or loving to your spouse. And if it is, you've come to the right place, because we are going to work through some of these issues, these things that are blocking you from walking in the fullness of who God has called you to be. We're going to deal with the issues. We're going to deal with the open doors that may be, that you may be leaving open, that spirit that you're being attacked spiritually. Remember, there's four areas where there's going to be an issue or where you operate out of love. There's four areas where you're operating out of love. You're either operating from out of something from a spiritual realm, from a biological realm, from a influential realm, meaning cultural, or from what I like to call an appetite. Okay, an appetite. Again, there's four realms of how or where you're operating out of love. It's either spiritual, it's either natural, aka biological, it's either influence or how you were raised, or it's an appetite. We call that a natural appetite, right? Just something that's happening naturally that you're craving, that you is either going to be influenced by something that's godly or something that's what we call the works of the flesh. And we're going to dive deep into those four areas of where you may be operating out of. And we're going to put things in its proper perspective. So make sure that you take the workbook, you follow along, you do the exercise. Listen, note takers take their relationship to the next level. So take notes, take action. All right, let's go to the next level. Let's have the love that you said you want, the love that you're dreaming of. Your happily ever after is right around the corner. I will see you at the next lesson. Make sure that you download my assessment, the Return on Love assessment. If you haven't done so, it's a free assessment. It's valued at $49. It's yours free. Download it. You'll be able to, you'll be able to decipher through the noise of emotions, decipher through some of them, the distractions that happen around you in your love life, and give you some clear direction on where you should be going in your relationship. If you're not married, this will definitely tell you if this relationship is worth it. If you're getting out of the relationship, what you're putting in. Just like ROIs, return on investment, the same formulas or the scientific theory behind how businesses are able to calculate their losses and their gains. I've created the same formula in the return on love so that you can determine if you are getting something that you're putting into your relationship and your marriage. Okay. And share this teaching, this YouTube teaching with someone else. Remember, I am here to make sure that you have the love that God is that you dream of, right? I'm excited to be on this journey with you. Again, my Faithful Hearts community, I will see you guys next time. Remember, Genesis 1:26 is what we're standing on. And you guys have a blessed day until we meet again. Peace.